Margaret hears a clatter of feet, of voices, and then the garden door springs open. Three Finnish girls who are staying on the floor above tumble out into the evening light, chattering their way along the diagonal stone path that leads to the gate. One pauses to light a cigarette, pushing her hair out of her eyes, and in her patched jeans and slightly dirty shirt, she is in that garden, so innocently lovely, so full of all kinds of possibility, that Margaret feels a cramp of envy. Had she ever been that young, that light of purpose? No, it seemed it was impossible. If only she'd had a chance before her marriage to have such freedom. The girl in the garden wasn't worried, as Margaret had been at her age, about paying the rent, keeping the gas and lights turned on. She was, Margaret could just tell somehow, unused to hardship. This girl was savvy and sought after, with so many options in work, in love, in life. No, Margaret had never been anything like that. And with that thought, the darkness she has sworn to herself to avoid comes tumbling over her like a veil. What good is it to be here, to spend so much money, so much time, to take herself away from her children, not to mention her husband? Ex-husband, she reminds herself. Soon he will be my ex-husband. To take a girl's trip when she is no longer anything like a girl? She should have come here 20 years ago. Margaret lingers at the window and looks at the sky, the evening light. That sad-looking gentleman she'd met, Lawrence Ware, had talked about Oxford spires. She had felt foolish not recognizing his name. And of course, he must lead a glamorous life, a famous playwright with an actress girlfriend who had even been in major movies. And he had been right about the skyline. It is beautiful, filled with golden spears and silver spirals that pierce the darkening blue expanse. They look like yearning. They look like nothing else she's seen in this life. Though she had planned to spend her evening writing letters to her children, she knows that if she stays in this room, she'll do nothing but brood. And meanwhile, the August sky is all magic. Margaret looks into the garden one more time. Something is coming her way. She is suddenly sure of it. Something is waiting for her. Perhaps just outside the garden gate, or down the road where the pubs are, or further by the bridge that crosses the river and leads east. If she leaves her room, something will happen to her tonight. She is confused by herself, by her life, but she is not a coward. She has proved that much. She will go out and meet whatever it is that waits. She goes to the tiny closet and takes out a narrow-cut blue silk dress. She puts on her favorite earrings, dangling silver circles, and fluffs her hair out around them. She outlines her eyes and paints her lashes a soft black. Makeup has always given her courage, and as she looks at her new, brighter face in the mirror, she can see that, for 49, she looks not at all bad. She is still pretty. She is not old. Not yet. Something glistens, catches her eye. Her engagement diamond. Her wedding ring. If she does not yet know herself, she is at least beginning to know what she is not. And she is not, anymore, a wife. She slides the rings off her fingers, lays them in the top drawer of the bureau. Then, with a map of the city tucked into her handbag, she locks the thin door to her room and heads out into the night.